Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Believe it or not, you didn't waste time by coming tonight. It's sometimes we have to stir ourselves up. You know, sometimes you can just kind of get used to church. It's like, well, you know, it's church. But these are times we'll talk about in heaven. We'll talk about the times that we had down here. And we probably won't be talking about the fact that the Astros lost the stinking wild card. Lord, help us. But, you know, I think about that, and I think that's nearly as bad as the people right now in my home state, North Carolina, and Georgia and Florida and all that. We're blessed, and all these hurricanes need to go away. We need them. We're done. It's like, it's over. It should be for us. I was reading in the Old Testament, in our Bible 365, which everyone here reads a chapter a day, 5 days a week. That's not too much either. Don't worry, I'm not going to get on that soapbox, but I like reading also in the Old Testament, and we're reading in the Kings, and there's just some good stuff there. And I was reading this, and there was a phrase that stood out to me. So let's take a look at it, and we'll read it. 2 Kings, first chapter. This is out of the Christian Standard Bible. After Ahab's death, Moab rebelled against Israel, and it's pronounced Ahaziah. Don't name your child that. Ahaziah had fallen through the lattice window of his upstairs room in Samaria, and he was injured. Now, Ahaziah was the king. So he sent messengers, instructing them, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I'll recover from this injury. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, Elijah was a prophet. He said, go and meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say to them, is it because there's no God in Israel that you're going to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore, this is what the Lord says. You will not get up from your sick bed. You will certainly die. Then Elijah left. That brother was a mic dropper, man. He's like, bam, you're going to die. I'm out of here. I'm gone. The phrase that stood out to me was, is it because there's no God in Israel? Ahaziah was a king. God was not a part of his life. He was his father, and you can't really blame him. His father and mother were horrible people. You don't get to say that too much. But his dad was named Ahab, and his mother was named Jezebel. Yeah, you hear the murmur go over the crowd? Jezebel, bad woman. Oh, she was a mean woman. And Ahab was bad too. And they were both worshipers of foreign gods. They both worshiped Baal, I think Jezebel had some kind of fertility goddess that she worshiped. She had about 400 prophets that served that god. And so this is the environment that Ahaziah grew up in. It's not a good environment. And because of that, they passed it down that they were worshipers of Baal. Now he's a worshiper of Baal. And the problem is, it's still God's people, still in Israel. And Ahab had led the people in the wrong direction. Ahaziah was the king, and the God of Israel was still supposed to have been his God. But God always had people there that would serve him. I know sometimes people say, well, you know, no one serves God. This is a godless place. No. There's always people that love God. That's right. And there's all, well, I'm looking at some of them right here. You may think, man, we're just, whole world's going to hell. No, it's not. There's a lot of us that are not. We're going to reach as many as we can so they don't. But there's a lot of us that love God. And right in Israel, even though they had Ahab, and even though they had his wife Jezebel, and they had set up temple idol worship, it was horrible, there were still people that loved God. Elijah was one of the prophets. And there were still people that Elijah talked about. He was the only one. The Lord said, no, I got 7,000. Haven't bowed their knee. And so, but this is the environment that Ahaziah had grown up in. And yet, He'd seen miracles. In Elijah's life, the Lord spoke to Elijah and he called for a famine in the land. And he told Ahab, so there's going to be a famine. 3.5 years there was a famine. And then when the Lord spoke to Elijah again, he said, go show yourself to Ahab. And there was a huge showdown between Elijah and the prophets of Baal and these other prophets, about 850 of them. And everybody remember the showdown on Mount Carmel? And they put up two altars and they said, okay, the God who answers by fire, he's God. And so, man, Elijah, the Baal prophets, they yelled and hollered and screamed for all day. In fact, Elijah was kind of a rough dude because he's mocking them. He looks at them and says, y'all need to yell louder. Maybe your God, if you read the King James, it's like maybe your God's in the bathroom or something. He can't hear you. He was an Old Testament trash talker. And so when it was time for him, Elijah, man, Elijah poured water all over his altar and all over the sacrifice, which is interesting because actually in the prophets of Baal, a lot of times these guys would put fire up underneath the altar. It was fake fire. We think fake news is new. It's not. There's always been fake stuff. And there was fake fire underneath the altar, and they would call on Baal, and somebody's underneath the thing, and all of a sudden fire comes up, and everyone goes, ooh. So Elijah said, pour water. And they poured water. They just surrounded that altar. They drenched it. There was water in the trench all around it. And then Elijah gets up. He prays. He told the people, he said, why are you going to halt, he said, between two opinions? If God is God, serve him. If Baal is God, serve him. And then he called for God. He said, Lord, show them who's God. And fire comes down and consumes the whole altar, licks up all the water, and the people fall down and say, the Lord is God. Ahaziah had seen that. He'd been a part of that. And yet when he gets sick and he doesn't call on the Lord God, he's sent to find from the foreign God. And that phrase kept standing out to him. Is it because there's no God? That's a rhetorical question. God is saying there is a God. But I wanted to stop and I want to talk a little bit about that. Because we have a God. And that's what I'm calling this series, Because We Have a God. And how does that impact us? How do we live differently? We don't want to live like we have no God. We have a God. He's a good God. Amen. And so we want to talk about some of the things that we can do. So that phrase just jumped out at me. Is there no God? Well, as soon as I began to see that, I told Joe, I said, we have a God in this house. I said, we have a God here. Can you say the same thing? You have a God. We're not a godless group. We have a God of this church. Amen. We have a God. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about that and some ways that we can do that. Now, in the Old Testament, well, let me jump to this. We have a God. Let's talk a little bit about our God. Romans 8, 31, 32. We sang some of this tonight. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now leave it up there just for a second. Here's where this helps us. Here's where we can jump into this. As a pastor, I'm not just interested in that we know historical information or we know information about the Bible. I want it to work in our lives. That's what I'm after. So what then shall we say to these things? We got some things to say. Here's something we should be saying. God's for me. My God is for me. He is not against. We sang it. Didn't we sing that tonight? He is for us, not against us. I am who he said. If we can sing it, we can say it. There's our verse right there. He did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I've got a God. He's on my side and he's not holding out on me. He didn't spare Jesus. Will he not with Jesus freely give us all things? I didn't get too many amens there, but think about that. If he didn't spare his best, is it going to be too hard for him to show you what you need to do at your work to solve that problem? Amen. You hear what I'm saying? He's not holding out on us. We have a God. And not only do we have a God, He's our Father. Look at the next verse. This is Romans 8, probably one of the greatest chapters in the whole Bible. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen. You know, that's just kind of a big thought. We're the children of the one who created the heavens and the earth. We're His kids. Yep. We're His children. Yes. The more we get a hold of that, that kicks self-esteem problems to the curb. We're a child of God. And so, we have a God. We're His children. He's our very own Father. And He doesn't want us living in fear. He doesn't want us living in depression. He doesn't want us living with high anxiety. We haven't been given a spirit of fear. We haven't been given a spirit of bondage again to fear. We've been given a spirit of adoption. The word Abba, Father, is what a small child would say. It's almost like, in our terms, Daddy God. That we have a Heavenly Father and we're His children. We're not people without a God. We're people that have a God and He's our Father.
Amen.
And He's for us.
Amen.
And He's not holding out on us. He will help us. Now, the thing, the challenge is reading that and then getting that in us where it becomes a part of our life. Because we have a God, we're acting like we have a God. In the Old Testament, God's people would meet at the temple, and God's people would build altars and memorials. It was a reminder. God would do something in their life, and they would build an altar there, or they'd build a memorial. Maybe they sometimes just make them of stones, and people would say, well, what's that stones? Well, that's when God revealed Himself, and it's a reminder of something. You notice we don't do that anymore. But we do have reminders. I have a wedding ring that when I first got married, I wasn't used to Joy being my wife. In fact, on our wedding, the night we were wedding, we were having to cut the cake, and the photographer said, Mrs. Clayton, would you come over here? I'm looking for my mother. I'm like oh, yeah, this is now Mrs. Clayton, right? And the wedding ring was a reminder. Now, interestingly enough, I busted this knuckle. This ring, I don't think it's come off in years. It just doesn't come off, which is probably a real good thing. If you're married, keep your ring on. But it's a reminder. But can I be honest with you? I don't need a ring any longer to remind me that I'm married. I don't need a ring to go, oh, yeah. I'm married. Not that it's a problem anymore. Maybe 20, 30 years ago, it was like, I'm married. Now it's like, yes, sir, can you come? Yes, okay, right, I got it. But here's the thing. I don't need the ring to remind me because Joy has become such a part of my life, I know that I'm married. It's a relationship. So a lot of times they would build memorials. They said, well, we don't build memorials anymore. We don't build altars like that. Actually, we do have the ability to build things into our hearts. Now, here's the key here. I want you to listen. You're Wednesday night. You can handle this. We build things into our heart with our words. This is how you build things into your heart. Now, I'm just going to ask a question. Maybe some of you remember this. When you first came to the Lord and someone asked you, are you saved? You know, a lot of people will go, yeah. Yeah, I think so. Anybody ever remember doing that? I mean, if you're honest, you're like, yeah, I remember. I just wasn't real confident. But what happened? Well, you kept going to church and you kept hanging around Christians and you kept singing songs and you kept saying it. And someone will ask you later on, you saved? You're like, yeah. And then pretty soon, are you saved? Absolutely. And then what happens is, it's become such a part of you, they could not beat it out of you that you're not saved. If someone came up to you and said, you know, you haven't been baptized in our church, you're not saved, you go, Get out of my face. You are crazy. In love, of course. But it will get in you. And what I'm realizing is more and more, we need to get some things in us. Acting like we have a God, we begin to build it in with our words. And then it becomes a part of our life. When I put those two verses up there, honestly, the more it's in you, the more excited you are about it. Yes. When I said, God is for us, I should have heard a rousing, yes, 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 he is. He is for us. And I'm not criticizing you. I'm just saying is that needs to be built in you more. And these are things that needs to be. But you say, well, you know, Alan, I've been a Christian for years, and I've gone to church for years, and that's helped me, and it's been good. You know, how do I take the next step? The next step comes when you begin to take God's word and put it in your mouth, and you begin to say, this is who God is to me, and this is who I am to him. That's next step stuff. Because what you begin to do is, death and life, guys, are in the power of the tongue. And then we begin to say things that help us. I've seen this a couple of times. He said, you will never raise above the level of your confession. If we're not talking some of these things, then they're not the reality in our life that they could be. And so what's happened is, as we've said things over the years, they become a part of us. But you'll be surprised at how challenging it is to get these things in your mouth. Because we're not accustomed to saying it. It's not something we grew up saying. Unless you grew up in a family that just talked that way, most of us don't talk that way. Most of us talk, oh, I'm tired. I'm dead. You know, I'm sad. Well, I'm sorry, Mom. Are you going to go to church tonight? Well, I don't know. I don't get him running. Yeah. Is the Lord going to help you here? Well, I don't know. Maybe. We sound like Muttley a lot of times. Anybody remember that cartoon, Muttley? It's like, but sometimes we talk like we don't have a God. And we want to change that. And to change that, if you're going to change it, you change your words. You change what you begin to say. You say, well, I don't even know if I believe that. You know, saying, you know, talking, people talk. It's just talk, really. That's how relationships are built or destroyed. But now, couples don't just walk in and look at one brother and go, I'm out. There's talk that goes on. There's words that take place. And how many of you know words can kill a relationship or they can heal a relationship? Am I right on that? After you've argued with your spouse, I'll use spouse, someone that you're married to. After you've argued, you feel good about that? You ever notice how draining it is? You speak those words and it hurts. And it hurts you and you feel like, oh, I've never argued with Joy. And after an argument goes, man, that was great. That's refreshing. Let's do it again. I heard people say, well, you know, if you fight, you get to make up. Making up's good. Hey, why don't you just make up without having to fight? I'm all for making up, but I'd rather not get in the brawl to begin with. I'm back. But seriously, we know that relationships are built on words. Am I right there? Yes. Amen. You can have good words. You can speak good words over your spouse. You can speak, how many know children's lives are built on words? Yes. Some of you still remember. In fact, when I said that tonight, you're not a mistake. Too many people have been told by their parents, you are a mistake. I don't believe God makes mistakes. And if you're here, you're his child, you're not a mistake at all. But those words hurt, and they sting, and they have an impact. So, and really what the Lord had just put on my heart is, we understand, Joy and I learned a long time ago, we started speaking words of life over our marriage. And we would speak words that helped over our marriage. And that was probably one of the smartest things we ever did. We would argue, and then sometimes we would sit down and talk, and we would remind ourselves that we believe that God put us together. And those were healing words, glue words. And I was telling Joy the other day, I said, we've learned to speak life in our marriage. We've learned to speak life. I speak good things over you guys. I speak good things over the church. I speak our best days are in front of us. I speak we're more effective now. We're reaching more people now than we've ever reached in the entire church's life. We're reaching people. Yeah. And we're going to continue to. But we're speaking life there. But if we speak life to our relationships, we need to speak life to our relationship with the Lord. And this is where we begin to talk about who He is to us. And this is where we can begin to talk about, thank you, Lord. You're for me. Now, I'll be very honest with you. When you first begin to say these things, it is not going to sound like it's real. You might look in the mirror and go, thank God you are blessed and the Lord loves you and God is for you and He is not holding back from you. And you feel like, liar, liar, pants on fire. I do not feel like I'm that this is true. But if you'll stay with it, you start to build it into your life. And you start to build it in, and it becomes a part of your life. Anybody, of course, no one in here, but anybody knows somebody that told a lie so often they finally believed it? You got like an uncle or something. He's been telling that same lie for years about the deer he shot, you know, with an arrow from 500 yards away and killed him. And it's like, he believes it now. He's been telling it for 15 years. And so it was a lie from day one. It's still a lie, but he believes it. Why? Because he's just been talking it so long that he believes it. We tend to believe our own words. So we need to take God's words and make them ours. Amen. And listen, I'm not saying that you're at the checkout at Walmart and you look at someone and go, you know, God is for me and He's not against me and He's on my side. Ain't nobody got time for that. Just be nice to them. Be sweet. That would be a real great witness. It's in our personal time. We spend a lot of time just with ourselves. And you know you talk to yourself. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You'll walk around the house going, keys, where did I put those keys? I put those keys somewhere. I know I put those keys here. Keys, where are you? You're talking to keys. Phone, where's my phone? I know you are here. Where are you? Where are you? Phone, I know I brought the phone. Stupid, I can't believe I'm so stupid that I put that phone. So we talk to ourselves a lot. So if we're going to talk to ourselves, why don't we talk to ourselves something that builds something good in us? Thank you, Lord, I'm forgiven. Thank you, you have forgiven me my past. Lord, you've been merciful to me. You are merciful and kind to me. You're good. Does this make sense? But can you see where this is a jump from where we typically are? Here's some of the key reason of that. Roman, can you jump to Romans 12 too? Romans 12 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's a changing of your mindset, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So it's saying don't be conformed, don't be molded into the way the world acts. But we're being transformed as we begin to change the way we think, as we begin to change what we do. Listen, does the world talk positively for the most part? No. A lot of negatives, a lot of complaining, a lot of stuff. And they say, well, you know, I'm trying to fit in. Listen, there's some areas that you don't want to fit in. I'm not saying you have to dress weird to be a Christian. Some people say, well, it's how we look on the outside. Listen, no, it's really how we are on the inside that matters the most. But the idea is, we talk different, because we are different. We don't talk hopeless. We talk we have hope. We talk like we have a God. Amen. And He loves us.
Amen.
It would be good for you just to say, Lord, thank you that you love me.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, you love me. I think a lot of people don't feel loved by God at all. And God's not going to give you a hug. I wish God would just give me a hug. Honey, you don't need a hug. What you need is a revelation of how much He loved you enough that He would send His Son to die for you so that we believe He loves us.
Amen.
More than anyone else. And we saw Him talking about He's a good, good Father. He's a better Father than any earthly father you will ever see. He's better to you than anyone that you ever know. He is that good. But we need to tell Him that. And we need to say that. Why? Because we're building it into our lives. We want to take what's in this book and we want to put it into us. I've rambled tonight. If this made sense, if you got some of this. But this is where we want to go. Years ago, well, it wasn't that long ago, like when I had lost my voice. Anybody remember that? I sure do. And I lost my voice, for those of you who weren't here. It went out around Thanksgiving. It was completely gone by Christmas, and I had to have Joy and Michael fill in for me and preach for me. And a lot of people wish we'd go back to that, but we're not because my voice is back. But I remember as I was speaking that Jesus is my healer, and the Lord reminded me of Romans, the 10th chapter. It's not up on the screen. But I'll read it to you. And it says, but what does it say? It says in verse 8, it says, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. It says, the word is near you. And the Lord just spoke to my heart. He said, if it's not in your mouth, it's not near you. And because I had looked at healing, and what I actually began to do was begin to speak that Jesus was my healer, and by His stripes I was healed. And I begin to thank Him for that. If the word is in our mouth and in our heart, it needs to be in both places. And so you hear it and you put it in your, and you do such a good job with that. You listen, y'all are such a good listening group. And you put God's word in and you listen. But now you need not just to listen. It needs not just to be in your heart, it needs to be in your mouth. Because it creates a life cycle. If it's in your mouth, it gets in your heart. If it gets in your heart, it gets in your mouth. And then out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaks. And then when you stub your toe, you don't cuss. You say, praise God, I'm glad I didn't break it. Because that's what's in you. We're building it in. Like I said, this will be a series because we have a God. Would you bow your head with me for a moment? If you're here and say, you know what, Alan, I'm not confident that I have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. I don't know that. Or I'm not sure. I think I've made Him my Lord. I'm just not. Or maybe you're here and saying, you know what? I've been away from God and I know it and He knows it, but I want to come back. We're going to say a prayer. Not going to have you stand up. Not going to have you come down here to the front. But sitting in your chair, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. It's a life changer. It is an eternity changer. And as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're the person I'm talking to or the persons that I'm talking to, you say, Alan, that's me. I'm not sure or I know I need to come back. Would you pray for me? Would you shoot your hand up just real quick across this auditorium? Thank you. Thanks. Thanks. Thank you. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. If you didn't lift your hand, you think, well, I missed it. You can jump in on this. This is a heart prayer. We're going to pray with you, whole church. If you're online and you're by yourself, just pray it out loud. If you're with other people, you know, pray it quietly. But it's important that you repeat this. It needs to come out of you. This is why we do this every week. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Father, thank you for those who prayed that prayer. Father, for those who with their heart they believe and with their mouth they made confession to salvation and to restoration, to coming back to you. And Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you for what you're doing in them, what you'll do through them. Thank you for this could be a huge night for them. And we give you all the praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.